Hollywood glitz and glamour returned to the banks of the Battenkill in the form of the Golic Awards, held Wednesday, June 1st, at Riley Rink in Manchester. The annual occasion, held since 2011 in honor of Brian Golic, a former Burn Burton Academy visual arts teacher, recognizes the work of the students in the school's cinematography program, and is organized and co-hosted by Bill Mensch, a long-term teacher at Burn Burton, who worked closely with Brian Golic before his passing in 2009. English teacher Rob Hunter is the other co-host, and the program is produced by theater arts director James Raposa. The occasion featured nominated student films, live performances from the BBA Performing Arts Department, and guest appearances from nationally recognized artists. We caught up with Bill Mensch just before the start of this year's show to have him give us the overview of the event.
How did the Golic Awards begin? What's the origin of the whole event?
So the origin of the Golic Awards, of course, it's in honor of Brian Golic, who passed away in 2009 after a long battle with cancer. And I used it as a vehicle for the kids to create films and have an Academy Award night. And at the same time, we honored Brian.
What sort of awards are recognized? What sort of accomplishments? I mean, I know cinematography is part of it, but...
The big award is the best film. The other big award is the Golic Film Award, and that goes to the student who most epitomized what Brian was about, helping others and being a community person. But we have sketch comedy and music film and commercials and TV show openings and horror and visual storytelling, so a lot of shenanigans.
And how does the judging work? What are the criteria for that?
That's a question that every kid asks. The judging is, first of all, the beauty of the internet is I can send the link out to 100 different people. And I try to get all ages to vote. I don't vote. That's an important thing. And when the votes come in, and there are always surprises, and you just never know which film is going to be the one that wins. So just like a regular award show, there are times when people are surprised by one that won, or pleasantly surprised by one that won. So nobody knows. The only person who knows who's winning tonight is me.
Once the program got underway, the capacity audience got to watch a series of student-produced short films on different topics, often with a humorous bent, like the fake positive COVID test.
Get out of this place for only $20. Let's go. Pay the small fee of $20 and relax for the whole week off school. And you're wondering what money's going to do? Don't. No one will suspect a thing. First, we can check in on it. Don't feel guilty. You deserve it.
Others had a more serious and somber side.
Look over there.
Are they really doing what I think they're doing?
Over 60 student films were presented over the course of the evening, which included some musical performances as well. With Bill Mensch set to retire at the end of the school year, the future of the awards night will depend on what those coming along after him want to do, he said.
The kids and Jeremy Vandeker, the new teacher, know that I have no skin in the game. If they choose to continue it because they want to, that's wonderful. And if they choose not to, I felt that this is something I did for Brian, and I don't expect other people to do that if they have different ideas.
The winners of this year's Golic Award were Shannon Hughes and Andrew Reed for helping in the classroom, their work in the program, and their community service. For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. Alongside the fence that separates the Manchester Community Garden's backyard from the Factory Point Cemetery is a small garden that was started last year. This one is a little different from most. It doesn't consist of flowers or vegetables. Instead, it's what's known as a pollinator garden and consists of several plants intended to serve as habitats or rest spots for pollinators, like bees, butterflies, moths, or other insects, Bats and birds are also considered pollinators. The transfer of pollen in and between flowers of the same species leads to fertilization and successful seed and fruit production for plants. Pollination ensures that a plant will produce full-bodied fruit and a full set of viable seeds. That eventually translates into food, beverages, fibers, and even medicines that need to be pollinated in order to grow and produce. But pollinators are in trouble. They've suffered from a loss of habitat, chemical misuse, and invasive plant and animal species. To learn more about pollinators and the role they play was the topic of a presentation held Saturday, June 4th, at Manchester's Community Library, which featured speakers from the University of Vermont Extension Master Gardeners of Bennington County, beginning with Becky Manning.
You could just have 1 square foot, anything that you can do that you could plant native plants to Vermont, because Mother Nature said, let's mix these together in ways that go together. Local native pollinators need to feed off of native plants. So their favorite home and food are things that grow here naturally. If you bring something from another country, it has the wrong color or the wrong shape or the wrong height or the seasonality is wrong, and therefore they don't do very well.
Bees are most commonly thought of as pollinators, and Jean Davis, the president of Bennington County's Beekeepers Club, brought her traveling hive to the talk. We had a chance to speak with her afterwards.
So there's this wonderful thing that happens, this relationship between pollinators and plants. And plants have evolved to encourage pollinators to visit them so that the plants could reproduce. And the pollinators gather their food from those sources. So if we lose our pollinators, then our plants are going to suffer as well. And if one of every 3 bites you take is the result of pollination, and we start to lose more and more of those pollinators, we're not going to have all the fruits and vegetables and nuts that we've had in the past. There are lots of kinds of pollinators. The thing that is special about honeybees is that they live in large communities. So the average beehive has 40,000 to 60,000 bees in it, and a large portion of that is a workforce that's outside pollinating. Bumblebees maybe live in a colony of 200, and hummingbirds, they live on their own, but they're also pollinators, and bats pollinate. But honeybees work as a team, and so they're very, very efficient pollinators.
After the discussions, several went over to help fine-tune the small pollinator garden, for which there are plans for a small expansion. Mia Clark explained a bit more about the garden.
You should have a group, so each little quadrant here has the same species. Some are New England asters, they're from lobelias, penstemon. I have a tag for each one. What do we have over here? Monarda echinacea is a very popular one, which is this row here. This was laid out last fall with layers of cardboard, lots of compost, and different layers of hay, so that we could kill the grass underneath. And we need to do a similar thing in the front to extend it. Because
Melissa Miola, who's also with the UVM Master Gardener Program, told us more about native plants you can plant in your pollinator garden.
So UVM Extension Master Gardeners, we've been working really hard, I'd say, in the last 2 years to just get out the word about natives. I find a lot of people are very knowledgeable about exotic plants, and unfortunately our native pollinator plants and native trees and shrubs, they have a really bad PR problem. People just aren't familiar with them. You know, everyone knows what a lilac looks like, but, you know, do people know other native plants? You know, would they be able to say like a winterberry or something that is native to our area? Most people probably not. And it's not really what you see in a lot of gardens. So we've been really trying to, by putting out pollinator gardens like this one, familiarize people with the native pollinator plants. And I'm hoping next, sometime this summer, I'm gonna be doing a program here at the library about native alternatives to invasive species. So, you know, when people are thinking about what they want to plant in their garden, you know, don't, you know, maybe plant all the exotics. It's okay to have some daylilies, some hostas, but they're not natives. You know, what else can you put instead of that? So I'm hoping to do that this summer.
For the GNET TV News Project, I'm Andrew McKeever. A stormwater study is underway in 8 towns across Vermont, and Manchester is one of them. The state of Vermont's Department of Environmental Conservation is funding and overseeing this project for the completion of stormwater master plans for each of the 8 towns. The others are Brattleboro, Rockingham, Stowe, Westminster, Williamstown, Windsor, and Woodstock. About 40 sites for close analysis have been selected for each town. In Manchester, the bulk of them run from the main roundabout at the intersection of Main and Depot Streets, and then east along Depot Street, roughly to the R.K. Miles Lumberyard. The purpose of the study is to determine the level of risk posed by stormwater runoff and how to manage that, because unmanaged stormwater can cause flooding and decrease water quality. The goals of this project are to identify sources of unmanaged stormwater runoff, develop management and design solutions to treat the runoff, and identify funding opportunities to implement these solutions. Recently, we spoke with Manchester's town manager, John O'Keefe, and town engineer, Chrissy Haskins, for an overview.
So right now, we're working with some consulting, with a consulting firm that the state hired, the town and village. And right now, they've identified 40 sites in Manchester that they're looking at as far as stormwater. The one thing that we're looking for right now is the public's assistance in filling out a survey that will be on the town website, a link to another site where people can learn more about the project and actually fill out the survey and provide important feedback for the town and for the consulting group that we're working with. Most of New England was built pre-industrial revolution. Most communities were built near waterways, down in valleys like Manchester. I think Manchester is a pretty traditional village in Vermont, where it's located pretty much surrounded by mountains with streams coming down. Of course, the Battenkill is our major source, and the town green and the gristmill were the foundation of Factory Point, which was an industrial revolution, pre-industrial revolution manufacturing site. So the fact that we have stormwater, you know, one thing about water is it always runs downhill. And so we are downhill, pretty much, right down where we are at Depot Street. So, of course, we're going to have issues, but the goal is to implement 21st century strategies and infrastructure to try to handle that so that the community stays resilient and our downtown thrives.
So, Chrissy, what's the remedy for that stormwater? I mean, what has to change, or what infrastructure needs to be put in place or modified to fix the problem?
So the traditional stormwater management methods include catch basins and pipes, and we pretty much send that water directly to our surface waters, our streams and our lakes and ponds. The today's method of stormwater management is a lot more centered around green infrastructure, and that is using infiltration, bioretention, gravel wetlands, and sand filtration to treat that water and to infiltrate it back into the ground. We do still have some water going to surface water after that, but it's been treated first, and we're reducing that peak runoff amount to the surface waters. We're about halfway through the project at this point. They started last summer with some desktop analysis of the town and village to identify these 40 sites. They did some field investigations last fall to confirm feasibility on these sites. And over the winter, they ranked the 40 sites. So at this point, we have a ranking of the initial 40 sites. And what we're moving forward with now is taking those the top 18 of those 40 sites and doing a second ranking on them using some different criteria. And from that, we'll end up with our top 3 sites that will be have conceptual designs for each one of them, so they'll have 30% conceptual designs and illustrative renderings of what it would look like, and that is expected to finish up next spring or summer, so we'll have the full plan at that time.
Watershed Consulting is a Vermont-based environmental consulting firm working with the Town of Manchester as part of the Department of Environmental Conservation's Stormwater Management Survey. We spoke with Andres Torizo, a principal partner and hydrologist with Watershed Consulting, about the project.
The purpose of the project is to help Manchester Town and Village identify problem areas for improvement to both solve flooding and water quality issues. So this is kind of a long-range plan to kind of identify where the opportunities are and then develop solutions for the problems related to stormwater runoff.
Okay, and was there any particular reason why Manchester was included in the list of the eight towns? Was it because there are certain concerns about stormwater runoff in Manchester, or was it just sort of they were an example of a kind of a typical town?
Well, there are specific concerns in the town, but in addition to that, the state has been kind of pushing this master planning effort for at least the past several years, where they've been working with different municipalities to develop these long-range plans and to kind of take a proactive approach to solving the problem. And so, you know, as part of the state's efforts in that, you know, Manchester and, you know, the other communities which are included in this current project had not been comprehensively assessed. So there had been work done in the past, you know, at different levels, but not this comprehensive plan. So that was just kind of to fill the gap in terms of, you know, covering all the communities in the state.
Okay. And I guess I just wondered, are you seeing this as you study the results you're gathering in the seven other towns? Is this a growing problem around Vermont? Is it a case of like older infrastructure wearing out and hasn't been updated? And, you know, if we want to, let's say, do things like increase the housing supply, for instance, time has come to, you know, bring that up to speed.
Yeah, definitely. I think you identified one of the issues is that infrastructure has been deteriorating and it is getting more vulnerable. It's getting older, starting to fail. You know, the other thing is just changing climate, changing precipitation patterns in the state, you know, leading to more short duration, kind of high intensity storms, which are really kind of resulting in a lot of flooding impacts and water quality impacts, like the one, you know, there was the storm most recently in southern, you know, a few storms most recently in southern Vermont, which are causing those types of issues. So I think those kind of things are becoming more frequent. So they're kind of putting more of a burden on the infrastructure as well. So there's that. And then also, like, you know, you had mentioned housing, improving housing stock. I mean, it's part of the goal of the plan is to kind of take a more proactive approach to, you know, planning for future growth and really trying to analyze what the impact of future growth will be on certain systems. So kind of looking forward to see, you know, where we're expecting that growth and trying to anticipate, you know, some of the needs, which would be there for, you know, managing, you know, runoff from future development. So.
And local residents, and not just those who live in Manchester, can visit the town's website at manchester-vt.gov and fill out a survey that will help the consultants and town officials as the project moves forward towards its anticipated finish next year. Meanwhile, the state has also released about $95,000 for two grants to study resiliency along two streams that flow through Manchester, Bournebrook and Lybrook. This study will fund buyouts of flood-vulnerable homes, floodplain restoration, and other natural resource projects that will help protect life and property from future floods in Vermont. For the GNAT TV News Project, I'm Andrew McHugh.